Verses 1 to 3. Going to spend a few moments in Hosea just as we reflect on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and before we sing a few songs about the gospel. Going to begin with verses 1 to 3. We'll pray and then I'll read verses 4 to 8. The book of Hosea, chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, accept what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses. And we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. In you, the orphan finds mercy. So far our reading for now. It really does bring us to the heart of the gospel. It first highlights our sin. You'll notice that phrase, we've stumbled because of our iniquity. Maybe you've stumbled into gossip, lust, harsh words, a grumbling spirit, selfishness, lack of self-control. The list goes on, doesn't it? We stumble because of our iniquities. Okay, so then what? Okay, we've stumbled, so then what? Well, the passage makes it very clear to the people back then not to look to Assyria. If we apply that to our own situation, the average Aussie looks to themselves, do they not? We can even look to ourselves. I've been a good person. I've got my moral code and I should be okay. But did you know that good people don't go to heaven? A holy God cannot be paid off by a few bits and pieces of so-called good deeds. We cannot pay off a holy God. It's too holy for that. How do we get right with God? It says here, take with you words and return to the Lord. So let's take words and return to the Lord this morning as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the hope and healing we all need. Let's pray. Lord God, our merciful God, we take words of repentance to you this morning as we lament that we are a people who continue to stumble. We lament that we are not holy, but we know you are. You are righteous and just in all your ways. So, Lord, we pray, forgive us for our sins. You're so good to us. You give us good laws and good ways. You've blessed us so richly, now and for all eternity. Yet we're so foolish to stumble into our sins again and again. So we ask you this morning, Lord, have mercy upon us and be gracious to us. Forgive us for all of our sins. Forgive us for our lack of love for you and our neighbour, for all the ways in which we've fallen far short of your glory. Lord, we ask that you'll hear our prayer, not because of us, but as we look this morning to the one who is righteous, our great high priest, our mediator, the Lamb that you provided. Hear us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen to these words from now verses 4 to 8. I'll heal their apostasy. I'll love them freely, for my anger is turned from them. I'll be like the Jew to Israel. He shall blossom like the lily. He shall take root like the trees of Lebanon. His shoots shall spread out, his beauty shall be like the olive, and his fragrance like Lebanon. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. Amen.
Revelation chapter 19. Just reading a few verses, starting at verse 6. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Amen.
Good morning. So good to be here and to see many familiar faces. Also from a few years back, and it is my pleasure to share the Word of God with you, as we find that in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm particularly interested in the verses 25 to 27. But to give a bit of context, I'd like to start reading from verse 18 and go through to verse 33. "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Now, I've chosen the particular verses 25 to 27 because they speak of the love of the Lord Jesus for the church. And that love of the Lord Jesus for the church is held out as an example and an inspiration for the love that we are to exercise towards one another as members of his body, the church. And what strikes me is that Paul, the writer of this letter to the Ephesians, emphasizes what the Lord Jesus has done and is doing for the church and why. I think it is one of the most glorious things that you can read about the Lord Jesus when you hear, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, that he might make her holy, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. What a glorious thing the Lord Jesus does for us. I think it's beautifully expressed in the well-known hymn, "The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. For his own, with his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died." That reiterates what Paul is saying here, that the Lord Jesus has given himself for the church. And this giving himself, I think, refers to two things. First of all, that the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who has lived in glory of God for all eternity, condescended to become a man and live in this world among people like you and me. People who often misunderstand God, who misunderstand each other, who can be very petty or punctilious about matters and fight over things that have no substance. The Son of God became man. He left the glories of the Father and became one of us. Is that not some condescension? Is that not some giving of yourself? For our sake, he came into this world as a child who depended on his mother. The one who by his word created all that exists, and by his power, whose power we live and move and have our being. He came and lived among us. And everybody said, "Wonderful, Lord Jesus, that you've come to live among us. We bow and give you homage and praise you, Lord of Lords." He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we esteemed him not. He came to his own, and his own did not recognize him or accept him. And the leaders of God's people who were to point to him as the Messiah, whom God had sent to redeem his people from their enemies, from their sins, instead of teaching the people to listen to him who is the Word of God incarnate, they hated him. And why did they hate him? Because they were so self-important, so self-assured, so self-centered, that he disturbed their self-confidence. And he who is the Word of God incarnate, who is the truth of God, was called a blasphemer because he said who he was. And they condemned him to death as the worst of God offenders. And they handed him over to be crucified to the Gentiles. And Jesus said of all this, and Peter proclaimed it on Pentecost Sunday, did he not? It was by the predetermined will of God that this happened, because as Jesus said, I have come to lay down my life as a ransom for many. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord, and I will take it up again. Why? So that he would have a bride who would shine. That he would have a body, a church, members, who would revel in his love. For that's what he came for, to restore love which was broken by sin. And Jesus gave himself for the church. He bought it with his precious blood. And he didn't leave us there. It says that he wanted to sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. You see, it is one thing to be safe under the righteousness of Christ before God. It is one thing to be saved and to be a child of God, but it is another thing to behave as a child of God, is it not? Is that what we're known for? Behaving like children of God, the God who is love and who sent his Son into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved and delivered from all unloveliness and lovelessness. Jesus not only gave his life once for all on the cross some 2,000 years ago, and by that has redeemed a people for himself, but he keeps on ministering for and to his people. In Hebrews, he is called our great high priest who has entered into the Holy of Holies itself, there to intercede on our behalf and to keep on praying. Why? Why? Because the church has always been in need of grace. The church has always been made up of imperfect, sinful people. That's why Jesus had to come and die. That's why the Holy Spirit had to be sent to work in the hearts of those people in order that they might be made to be the lovely kind of people that Jesus saved them to be. What does it mean that Jesus cleanses his church by washing? I'm reminded of what we read in John 13, where it says just before Jesus was going to be crucified, he loved his disciples and loved them till the end, and he disrobed himself, put on a towel, and washed his disciples' feet. And instructed his disciples, "You've seen what I've done. You call me your master, and so I am. So you ought to wash one another's feet." What was that? That was menial service, humble service. The Lord Jesus was willing to wash his disciples' feet in order to teach them something with the word. And he calls us to minister to each other as brothers and sisters, as members of the body, so that together we might reach that spiritual maturity which is the fullness of the body of Christ and the bride, which is the fullness of being the family of God. That's what Jesus keeps on working towards. By the word, that's what the preaching is about. To teach, to correct, but above all, to encourage. Our Jesus is willing and desirous for you. The great thing I take away from this is Jesus wants the church so much that he's willing to give up and do anything for her. Do you get that? Do you see that? He was willing to come down from heaven in order that he might have a church. That he might have a bride for all eternity. And if Jesus so loved the church that he was willing to lay down his life for it, and that he continues to work with us, and continues to listen to our prayers. We all know what the Apostle John writes in his first letter, second chapter. Brothers, I write these things to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, if any Christian sins, it's not talking about worldlings, but if any members of the body of Christ, of the church, sins, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is still praying for us, for you, for me, who stuff it up again and again, who say the wrong thing, think the wrong thing. And Jesus says not, I'm done with you. But Jesus says, my heart bleeds for you. The love that Jesus calls for is not a legal love. You must. It's not a demanding love, I want. It is a love of desire. Why does a man want to marry a woman, or a woman want to marry a man? Because they desire each other. If that wasn't there, they better not get married. Christ desires the church, and he picked it up, you might say. It was given to him by the Father from all eternity. Ephesians is a beautiful book. One of the most amazing things to read in any of Scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. See how that ties up with what we read in our text? It's God's will that we should be holy and blameless before him. That's what he's chosen us for in Christ. And that's what Jesus does everything for, to make that a reality. And so as we think about the past and think about the fact that the church, the Reformed Church, now has got its own name, but it used to be the Reformed Church of in Ireland. Now our denomination has become Christian Reformed, which must be better. But when we think about that, those 60 years or those 70 years, what a lot of joy there has been. This church used to be packed every Sunday. A membership of 400 members. With wonderful preaching of the gospel. And what a pains there have been. People having their own agenda, having their own vision, not willing to make one step back for the sake of the church which Christ loves and wants to see beautiful and says to be patient with one another, forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven you. It is the love of Christ that is the spirit in which we are to live, and not in a spirit of we're right and you're wrong. I say the love of Christ is a gentle love. A love which wants to see harmony and joy and praise to God. Do you want to know what you need to aim for as the Christian Reformed Church or the Reformation Church of Inala? To be that holy, loving people. Not long ago I read about a church, I think it was in Scotland, and they didn't have any major programs. They were just a community who loved each other in the name of Jesus and loved their neighbor and drew them in. Because that's what Jesus wants, does he not? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you the certainty of being loved, and isn't that what all of us want and need? To be restored in love. Without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And that's what Jesus is praying for. And that's what Jesus is appointing each of his members to pray and work for. One of the outstanding things in the letter to the Ephesians is two prayers which Paul prays for the Ephesians. One is found in chapter 1. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, that's a prayer worth reading every morning, every evening. That we might know Christ, the love of Christ. And that's my prayer for you, for every one of you, wherever you are a member of the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ because he's chosen to have a bride. And to proclaim the invitation to join that body through faith in him. And I pray that you will appreciate the lengths to which Jesus has gone and is still going to make sure that his bride will become lovely. There's a hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And I hope I can find it. It is It's a prayer, isn't it? Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth, come down. Fix in us your humble dwelling, all your faithful mercies crown. Jesus, you are all compassion, boundless love that makes us whole. Visit us with your salvation, enter every trembling soul. Finish then your new creation, pure and sinless let us be. Let us see your great salvation, perfect in eternity, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, there to cast our crowns before you, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen. Let us give thanks. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the head of the church, by whom we have life eternal. Fellowship with the Almighty and Holy God, and wrapped in his loving arms, because you have made us acceptable. Lord Jesus, we thank you for telling us again to trust you, to be thankful to you, to follow you, and to receive from you what you so freely give. Deliver us from all pride, from arrogance, from self-assurance, and make us marvel at your grace and your patience and your persistence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word, for your spirit. Thank you for our brothers and sisters bought with your blood. Amen.